Most of what I'm sharing is not from a place of judgment. Whatever I'm going to share with you is usually, number one, based on scriptural principles. Number two, based on scientific facts. And the last is statistical facts. Number six of what nobody tells you about sex. Number six. This one says, you are not the only one. I know that's not what you like to hear, and that's not what you usually hear. You know, most people think you are the only one. No, but you are not the only one. Statistically, you found out that most people that involve or indulge in sexual immorality usually indulge in it with more than one person. In fact, that's part of why it's dangerous and totally unhealthy. It involves more than one person. All right. Statistically speaking, anybody having sex outside of marriage is usually having it at least three people. At least three people. All right. Averagely. Some way more, definitely. Some less. But averagely three people. So picture this. That everybody that is having sex has three people. Those three people are also having sex under three people. The other three people having sex under three people. And remember, there's joining going on. So like I said one time when I was speaking, I said some people are literally having sex with their neighbors that they don't talk to. Some people are having sex with their colleagues they don't talk to, because that one is sleeping with someone that's sleeping with someone that's sleeping with someone. It's a lifestyle. So most people are not having sex with one person. You are not the only one. You are never the only one. There's usually more. It's a lifestyle. It's a habit. And we've seen it both from male side and from the female side. Because once you start, it becomes a lifestyle, becomes a habit that becomes difficult to manage. One of my friends that is an Uber driver, he shared his experience how he picked up a girl one day, and in the car, the girl was talking to about three different guys and giving them three different time slots, and she was playing three different roles in the same car. In fact, he was even confused where he was, because the girl was, the acting was incredible. She, at some point, she would change the tone of her voice. At some point, she would just be waking up from sleep inside the same car. And these are three different men that were waiting for her, and she was controlling everything. And they are all thinking they are the only ones. So in other words, these fluids are being shared amongst many people. You are never the only one. You need to know that. You are never the only one. All right? That's point number six. Point number seven. This one is, everyone is not doing it. Many young people have been told that, oh, is this sex? No big deal. Everyone is doing it. Nope. I'm here to tell you the total opposite of it. It's not everyone that is doing it. Everyone is not doing it. As funny as it may sound, there are still many people that are keeping themselves. Many people that are virgins. Many people that are doing it God's way. So many. Don't be under the pressure or delusion to believe that, you know, everybody's involved in it. No, there are many single people that are keeping themselves to the marriage. Many. There are many married people that have never cheated on their spouses. Don't believe that is normal. Don't let anybody tell you it's normal. All right? It's normal to be tempted. It's not normal to cheat. It's not normal to sin. It's not normal to do it. It's normal to be tempted, but you don't have to do it. There are many people that are keeping themselves all over the world. As a marriage counselor, in fact, I believe I have wedded more virgins than non-virgins. In my years of counseling and in my years of wedding people, I've wedded more virgins than non-virgins. As at last year, December, in 1 week, I counseled two different couples that the two couples were virgins, the four of them. I didn't counsel them together, two different classes, but it was in the same week where the husband and wife, as in the both couples, the men and women there, were virgins. As in not both. Husband, wife, four of them virgins. And they were above 30. So they are not kids. They've had enough chance to cheat, but they kept themselves. Now somebody's saying, oh, Pastor, how do you know? Because sometimes I had to still continue counseling even after the wedding night. That's how I know. I had to still be telling them where to, okay, I shouldn't bore you with that. All right, so the point is that I counsel people like that. So it's doable. Many people are virgins, all right? So don't let anybody pressure you that, oh, you're the last American virgin. You're the last virgin. You're not. You're not. There are many people, all right? And it's possible to keep yourself. It's possible. There are people keeping themselves everywhere. And you can be amongst them. And even if you have done it in the past, you can start now to be celibate. You can start. And it's for your own good. It helps you enjoy sex better when you eventually start having it in marriage. You are more whole. You are more healed. You are more complete. As opposed to be scattered everywhere like most other people are. When they are sleeping with their partners, they are imagining on that person. Because they have something to imagine. Your brain. I'll get to that point. Let me not go ahead of myself. But the point is this. It's doable. All right? It's doable. Point number 8 of what nobody tells you about sex is that celibacy doesn't start from the body. Celibacy doesn't start from the body. Many people, you know, when they're saying, oh, I'm celibate, they are just saying, okay, you know what? I'm not going to physically indulge in sex, but I'm going to mentally express myself. No. When God is talking about sexual purity, He's not just talking about your body alone. You need to understand that God is not somebody wicked trying to keep you away from having fun. He's trying to protect you so that you remain whole for where you are going. You need to understand He's trying to protect you because, you know, sex impacts you so much that you might never be whole again. You might always have to be dealing with the different things pulling you. How you always having to be dealing with the different soul ties you are facing. Having soul ties is real. There are even some people you have sexual relations with that their spirit is still, you know, with you even years after, you know, and you now need prayer to break away from it because the impact, their attitudes, people have shared that the attitude, they picked up attitudes from people they slept with. So it's such a spiritual reality. So celibacy is not about God being wicked and saying, keep, you know, I want to punish you. No. It's about protecting you. It's for your good, not for His own good. It's for your good, not for His own good. In fact, there are many people that think, oh, I'm a virgin, that means I deserve a good husband. That's not true. You are a virgin to protect yourself, not for God. It's for you. It's for your own sanity, for your own wholeness. It's for you. And by doing that, you still need to learn about what it means or how to pick a good husband or wife. You still need to learn that. You can't say, oh, it's automatic. I'm a virgin, then God should give me a badge and God should reward me. No, it's for you. You're just going to come out better than a lot of people in the health of your emotions. But it's not that because of that you deserve to be rich or you deserve to know. You didn't do it for people, you did it for yourself. Okay, you didn't do it for God, you did it for you. It's for your own sanity. The advice in scripture is not to benefit God, it's to benefit you so that you'll be whole and well. So celibacy is not just about your body, it also includes your mind. Let's read Matthew chapter 5. Matthew 5, it says, but I say unto you that whosoever looketh on a woman to lust after her had committed adultery with her already in his heart. Do you understand? God is saying, look, staying sexually pure is not just about saying I won't do anything physically. He's saying you also have to protect your mind. You have to protect your mind. You have to keep your mind clean. Because your mind is your most powerful sexual organ. Many people don't know. They think your sexual organ is physical. No, your mind is the most powerful sexual organ. If you don't keep your mind clean, eventually your body won't be clean. So you have to protect your mind too. You have to keep your mind clean. The Bible said, how can a young man keep his ways clean? He said, by always putting the word of God in his mind. So you have to, you know, put positive things in your mind, build up your spiritual life to the point that you can control your sexual urges. That's how it works. So you can't say, I'm free to explore. And this doesn't mean you will never be tempted. This doesn't mean you never sleep. This is not what it's about. But it's about knowing that, look, as you are guarding your body, you need to guard your mind. Because the Bible says, guard your heart with all diligence. Say, out of it are the issues of life. In other words, your matters of life are controlled by what's going on inside you. You can't say you want to keep your body clean and you are still heavily intoxicated or heavily filled with negative thoughts, you know, sexual content. You are never going to be able to overcome that lifestyle. Because I've seen many people that have lived, in sexual immorality before, finding it hard to come out of it. It's very simple. Start with your mind. They are trying to lock their bodies, but their minds are still exploring. No, cut off contact with people you need to cut off contact with. You know, censor the things you watch. Censor the pages you follow. Censor the movies you watch. You can't keep watching things that have heavy sexual content and you want to live a sexually pure life. It can happen. One young girl wrote me a letter or something many years ago. She said, Pastor, I'm dealing with masturbation. You know, young girl. And I said, okay. I said, how did this start? She said, I was reading sexual novels. You know, those novels that are highly romantic and highly sexual. And I asked her, have you stopped reading those novels? She said, no. I said, so the habit can't stop because you're still feeding it. You're still feeding it. So you have to censor what you watch. You have to censor what you feed your mind with. That's how to also take care of your body. So you can, celibacy is not from the body. It starts from the mind. Keep your mind clean. And you can do it. It would be unfair for God to ask us to do something we can't do. He'll be a very unjust God. If he says we can do it, then we can. We just need to believe we can and start working towards it. All right? So celibacy doesn't start from the body. It starts from your mind. Your mind is the most powerful sexual organ you have. Your mind usually can recognize real or fake. The more it meditates on something. That's what I just trying to say. That if you think about it, you've done it already. Because the more you meditate on it, it becomes like real. And very soon it will play out in reality. Okay? Very important. Point number 9 of what nobody tells you about sex, very important. I hope you have subscribed to my YouTube channel already and share this to somebody, they will bless them. Number 9, what nobody tells you about sex is that sex is not love. Many young people tell themselves that sex is love. If I went, most time when a boy wants to sleep with a girl, he'll say, if you love me, you will sleep with me. Sex is not love. Sex is not love. Don't ever fool yourself. There's no link. And this happens to women more because women generally will not give their bodies to someone that they are not emotionally connected to. So because of the height of desire to give love, to show love, they go ahead and give their bodies. Sex is not love. Sex is not love. Don't ever sleep with someone in the name of love if you are not married. If they love you, they will wait for you. Love is more exhibited by self-control than lack of self-control. All right, if they love you, they will wait. Sex is not love. Very important. Sex is not love. If sex was love, all the prostitutes would be in love today. All the prostitutes would be in love today. Sex is not love. Sex is not love, especially for the guys. Because guys, their sexual desire is not connected to their emotions. So a man can be sleeping around and not like anybody's, not even like the person. But for women, most times, when they give themselves sexually, they have also given themselves first emotionally. So it's really more painful on their path. Sex is not love. As a matter of fact, I advise people, if you're single, it's better to remove sex from the table so that you will build intimacy. Because sex doesn't build intimacy. It is intimacy that builds sex. Sex doesn't build intimacy. It is intimacy that builds sex. In other words, if we remove sex from the table, it gives us time to know each other. It gives us the room to develop friendship, to develop real intimacy. Because the moment you introduce sex, it has a way of changing everything. When you call that guy and say, oh, I want to see you, he's thinking of sex. But you see, if there's no sex on the table, he will see you as a person. He will connect with you for real as a person. So sex doesn't build intimacy. It's intimacy that builds sex. Most people that are not married don't know that. When you're married, you'll find out that it's the level of friendship and intimacy you have with your wife or husband that makes the sex enjoyable. It's not the other way around. Because anybody can have sex. People sleep with prostitutes every day. People sleep with just anybody they meet on the road every day. But when there's real intimacy, the sex becomes interesting. You see, marital sex is quite different from the sex single people have. You know, sex has been overhyped for single people. They've watched movies. They see people breaking plates, jumping on the cooker. That's not marital sex. Those ones are being acted. There's a movie crew there, just like in my studio now. There's a movie crew, there's lights, there are cameramen. That's how those ones are. It's not real. They are tearing their clothes, breaking their plates. Nobody's breaking their plates. If you work hard to buy those plates, you can't break them. Trust me. So this is what single people watch. So they're thinking, if I get married, or let me just... No. For marital sex, it's intimacy. Because remember, you're going to sleep with this person for the rest of your life. 40 years, 30 years, 20 years. It's intimacy that builds sex at that stage. It's not sex that builds intimacy. So sex is not love. Sex is not love. So finally, we're at point number 10. Point number 10 of what nobody tells you about sex is that sex is not good. It is great. Sex is not actually good. It is great. Everything God has made is beautiful. It's great. It has so many, you know, blessings to it. It only becomes bad when it is perverted. So sex is not just merely good. It is great. And it's meant to be great. You know, and all these things we are sharing is to help you enjoy the true meaning and true essence of sex. Sex is great. You know, it has health benefits. It has bonding benefits. It brings, you know, a family together. It brings children. Sex is great. You know, it's not just good, it's great. But however, if it is abused, it can become a challenge. And I know for many young people, sex is totally overhyped. They've made you feel life is all about sex. They think that's what all married people do. No, marriage is beyond sex, way beyond sex. In fact, when you get married and really get it going, you find that you don't have sex that often. You know, it's not about sex. There's more to your family, more to your relationship than sex. So learning about, you know, how to if you're dealing with things like soul ties and other, learning about how to break it, you know, learning about how to grow out of that sexual cycle, that sexual habit, you know, that will be, we'll do that in our next video that you'll see soon. But the point is that, you know, the principle is simple. You're struggling with dealing with sexuality. If you're a Christian, it's very simple. The Bible says, if you walk in the Spirit, you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. I think that's Galatians 5:16. That if you walk in the Spirit, you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. In other words, they're saying, look, you don't stop sinning to grow spiritually. You grow spiritually to stop sinning. Okay? Do you understand that? God always says, come as you are. He doesn't want to expect you to come perfectly. Now, I know church people might be judgmental and they might be unforgiving, but you need to face Jesus Christ. He says, come as you are. He doesn't want you to change before you come. He wants you to come so that you will change. Okay? He doesn't want you to change before you come. He wants you to come so that you will change. So even if you are somebody involved in prostitution, you are involved in promiscuity at a high level, you are involved in anything that you are ashamed of sexually, God can heal you. God can heal you. I spoke to some young people. I was telling them how, you know, all the lifestyle of sex is so can impact you so much. But let me use the ladies, for example. If you're a lady that is sleeping around with married men or sleeping around with rich men that are giving you money, it can become a challenge when you want to marry. It can become a big challenge when you want to marry. How do I mean? You're sleeping with men that are billionaires, you know, old men that they can give you 300,000 naira, 200,000 naira. They can, you know, fly you abroad. When you get used to that lifestyle, that spending style, it'll be difficult for you to marry your mate that is earning 70,000 naira, his whole monthly salary. And that your mate is also, he also wants to prove seniority. He wants to prove authority. And it's any 70K. You see, you'll be difficult for you to manage because you're used to 300,000 as transport alone. You're used to a certain lifestyle, a certain level of comfort from following somebody's husband. The impact is so bad because you won't be able to find your mates attractive. You can't even talk to them. You can't even understand what they're talking about because you have built yourself to live a certain way. And even when you find that those people still even marry, apart from finances, the attitude is also there. You are used to a certain level of sexuality that involves, you know, different people. You know, it's like eating in buffet and wanting to eat a la carte is difficult to adjust, to eat one meal till you die. When you're used to buffet, you know, your appetites are different. You're sleeping with five different men. You now want one man to satisfy you the way five men satisfy you. All those challenges come out. And you find out some of those girls can't adapt to the new lifestyle. They can't stay married or they might not even find it difficult to get married. And even the ones that might get married find it difficult to be satisfied in their marriage, and they still have to go outside and still do stuff, you know, or the level of comfort that they've gained. So in other words, sex is actually not just good, it's great, but the abuse of it, you know, can have long-lasting impacts in your life and even in that of your children that are born or unborn. So the point is that come to God. God is not waiting for you to change before you come. He says, come so that you can change. He's not waiting for you to stop sinning to grow spiritually. He's saying, come and grow spiritually so that you can stop sinning. So these are 10 things nobody tells you about sex. If you enjoyed this video, please share it, recommend it to somebody. Want to get this word out there, send it to all the young people you know. Make sure you subscribe to my YouTube channel. We'll do the sequel to this video where we'll deal with how to break soul ties, how to overcome sexual addiction, how to overcome sexual temptation. You don't want to miss it. I hope you enjoyed yourself. My name is Pastor Kingsley, and I look forward to seeing you again. All right. Thank you.